Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 201 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am one of your hosts. My name is Eric Wahlquist, and joining me this week, as he does each and every week, is the other host of the show. His name is...
Oh, I'm Jesse Stank Hands Wilson.
Stanky Hands.
Old yeah, I need stanky new work hands. Gloves.
Do you need new work? Is it from your work gloves? Is your stanky hands?
Yeah, I put my gloves on and work for a little bit in this hot sun that we have here in Washington right now.
Yeah.
Take those gloves off. I'm like, ooh, that's tangy.
Well, so it's weird because it's been super hot, but you and I both went camping this past weekend and we got rained out.
Oh, did you get rained out as well?
Well, we didn't wuss it up and leave. I do understand that you have a baby, which I'm sure plays into the equation.
That was a major factor. Yeah. Also, how rainy was it on your end?
It was mostly just rainy at night. It rained during the day, but we went to the ape caves, so it was like rainy, but it was inside a cave.
So I was about half an hour from North America. In fact, the world's only temperate rainforest.
Right.
So it was rainy as fuck. This was no light drizzle, let me assure you. It was raining so hard that at night I kept waking up.
Oh, I woke up. The rain woke me up for sure.
The beating rain on the tent.
I woke up because we were like under a bunch of trees and I was like, oh, this is good. 'Cause like the trees will catch the rain, right? But they did catch the rain, and then they dropped it on me in huge droplets. So woke up in the middle of the night to the sound of rain, and then the sound of like huge droplets dropping on the tent as well, shaking the whole damn thing. So
did you spend two nights?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Drying out the tent. It's probably dry now.
Yeah, mine's drying out at as we speak. But yeah, mostly our decision was made because Russell Nisha. Yeah. She had a great time. We got there early on Thursday, went to the beach. The sandy beaches of the Washington coast.
Right.
She went just total wild the whole time, running nonstop, getting super dirty. She saw some big kids like running in the ocean, you know, like
yeah,
getting like the waves over their feet. And she's like, I'm doing that. It's like, we had to like run out and try and rescue her and corral her because all she wanted to do was like run into the ocean. It's like a riptide's going to take my baby.
She swam to Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
We had to go to Canada and get her.
Right past the appropriately named Destruction Island.
Yep.
But at her site, she was just like running around playing in the dirt the whole time. And she was having a great time. But then when it was like just a muddy, rainy mess, it's like, well, maybe I shouldn't let her just be a mud monster.
Botulism.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to avoid the botch.
The old botch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I think it's kind of hilarious that, like, all of the islands and stuff in Washington are named after, like, this will kill your boat.
Yeah.
It's like Deception Pass, Destruction Island, Cape Disappointment.
Right.
It's like, well, Cape Disappointment
point
is
defiance
because...
defiance, even. Like, yeah, I defy you to boat near this point.
Exactly. It's like, fuck you, boats.
Fuck you and your boats. We got nothing but rocks. Deal.
That's also another thing. I don't know what it is, but on my phone, whenever there's a weather advisory, it gives me a like red exclamation point. But it's always small craft advisories. I'm like, how many people is that relevant for, phone? Like, how many people are like, you know, damn it, I got to take out the 24-foot Catalina tonight. And then you're like, oh, shit, the small craft advisory. How rich do you think? Maybe it's my demographic. Maybe I got a rich man's phone.
They think you're a Bainbridge Island.
Yeah.
Did you buy your phone in Bainbridge Island?
They're like Google Nexus, huh? Small craft advisory for you, sir.
Don't take the yacht out today, Sir Wellington.
Exactly. More like a paddle boat. Anyway, how was your week? You said you had a, how'd you describe it?
A wet and wild time.
Wet and wild time.
Well, I went through Forks for the first time since the Twilight craze, yeah. Which was interesting.
Also, so we were down in Southwest Washington, down by Mount St. Helens, and we passed a town. I can't remember what it's called. Hopefully it'll come to me. But then they were like, a Twilight town was in the town on a billboard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they had like the logo and everything, like a Twilight town.
That's so funny. Because it Forks, you know, Twilight takes place in Forks. Mm-hmm. So it had this whole boom economy.
Right.
Based off of Twilight tourism. And the whole town was like, Twilight Tours, native to Twilight, was one of the shops. Another one was like, Bella's Band-Aid Station, which was a novelty store. Like, I just don't even know.
I kind of love it because, like, vampire bites.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that was part of the factor. Mm-hmm. And but then it, my favorite was, like, you drive, you know, Forks is a small town, you go half a mile down the highway from the center of town, and, like, you pass the, like, dilapidated mobile home parks, and someone was selling, you know, roadside firewood for the campers, mm-hmm. and it was Twilight firewood.
Love it.
Love that. And
twice as expensive.
The piece to, no, it was only $4 a bundle.
Oh, that's pretty good. So yeah. I think five is standard.
Five is standard.
Yeah.
But the piece de resistance was the local radio station was 96.7 Twilight.
It's supposed to start with a K.
No, just 96.7 Twilight.
Wow. I like the idea that, like, they in the Twilight firewood, they, like, put a bunch of sparklers in it. So it's, like, magical.
Yeah, but, yeah, then, like, you drive home. I was driving home past, like, Port Angeles. And Port Angeles, one of the hotels still has a reader board that says, Welcome Twilight fans. Still! In Port Angeles, which is only tangentially related.
You're not even a real Twilight town. Port Angeles.
Yeah. So, wow. So that was fun. But then I got sick.
Yeah.
Which you're saying is going around.
It's going around, the summer sickness. I'm trying
is
to
it
avoid
a,
it.
Like a, is it a flu or a cold? I don't know.
I don't know. Everybody's saying they're getting like the gamut of symptoms that I know who have gotten this thing.
Yeah, I either have like a low grade flu or a massive overachiever of a cold.
Yeah, like people at work are like, I'm exhausted, I'm achy, I got a sore throat, runny nose. Also, I think it might be cold mixed with allergies, because I have allergies, and my allergies are awful right now.
Yeah, like, I got, like, sweating, like, the sore throat, sneezing, coughing, phlegmy, mm-hmm. bad headache,
yep.
Fatigue, mm-hmm. with just a dusting of diarrhea and vomiting.
Excellent. Oh, yes. You were kind of sick last week, were you? Or was
I know,
it 2 weeks
it's
ago?
Bad. But yeah, this, as I mentioned before to you, that this cold is the sampler platter of misery.
Yeah.
It's just a tiny bit of everything that makes me feel horrible.
Well, I mean, you do have, like, the take-home version of the CDC in your house, which is a baby.
But, you know, she's not interacting that much. Like,
yeah, but think about it. Her immune system sucks. Like, your immune system has had, like, nigh 30 years of fortification. Hers is Zippo.
Well, hers should be fine since I opted out of all her vaccinations.
Vermaximations.
Vermaximations.
That's true. If you would have vaccinated her, you would have had a real problem.
I couldn't even get through that sentence without, like, flubbing it, because I'm so appalled by anti-vaxxers. But moving on.
Yeah, I know. Well,
how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I actually, I've had a very serendipitous day. Like,
really?
Yeah. For some reason, I got, like, down. I was on the bus. I was surfing on my phone. I got down a rabbit hole of flat Earth theories.
Yeah.
And then I was listening to a
ironically,
podcast.
You can't really have that big of a rabbit hole when it comes to flat Earth theories, because it would just go right through.
Well, then I was listening to a podcast, and somebody started talking about flat Earth, and I was like, "This is weird."
Yeah.
And then I was on Facebook, and you put Wizard of Loneliness as a status update, and then I'm watching Hulu Plus right before the podcast, Nathan For You comes on, and then Wizard of Loneliness happens.
Well, that's where I got it from.
I know, but when that moment happened, I was like, oh!
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
God, isn't that so funny?
It's a great show.
You have no friends. You're a wizard of loneliness.
Well, the funny thing about that is, like, that's not scripted. That's just something that guy calls people. Wizard of Loneliness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I cast a Fireball of Loneliness.
Oh, no, that's the ultimate spell.
4d6 of loneliness.
Oh, it repels 4d6 of your friends out of your life forever.
That's 4 hits to your charisma.
Oh, no.
Immediately. Oh, man. Yeah, doing well. I'm really excited about talking over your coughing.
Yeah, so sorry.
No, I'm the human cough button, dude. You just do what you need to do, right, and I will fill the time. So that's our deal for the
night.
It's
when I start laughing, I start coughing. This is
Okay.
It's akin to my proudest achievement ever,
which is,
I mean, the birth of my daughter, Russell Nisha, is a close second, but right, it doesn't quite match the time that I made Jordy laugh so hard that he puked.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a rare cough sneeze laugh.
No, it's not that.
Yeah, Jordy, but come on, making Jordy puke is not that big of a feat.
That's true, and he had whooping cough at the time, but still, my joke caused the human to barf.
I mean, the man has a gag reflex of, I don't know, of a mother eagle.
I like it.
Yeah, pulled that one out of my nest. Okay, Jesse, what are you drinking this week?
I'm drinking porter from work. I actually meant to snag one of my homebrew CDAs and forgot, so I'm kind of bummed out about that.
Well, I'm drinking Dos Equis again because it's hot. When it's hot, it's cerveza season. When it's cerveza season, grab a Dos Equis, named after the turn of the 20th century, brewed for over 100 years in the Mexico place. And I just want to remind everybody, this episode's brought to you by the 2014 Kia Sorento.
There you go.
All right.
Step into a slightly used 2014 Kia Sorento.
2014 Kia Sorento's great pricing right now as the 2015 models come out. Please contact your local Kia dealer for details.
Have you seen this, the Gig Harbor RV commercial?
No.
It's this guy and he's like, They canceled our lease so they could build a mini mall in Gig Harbor, and we have over 200 acres of RVs that have to go. I just love the small business guy who over-explains the reasons why they're having a sale.
I feel like that is a nightmare situation, to have, like, 200 RVs on your hands and you gotta move out.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
they sold
man.
Our lease to a mini mall. It's like, okay, I don't need the extra info.
We sold our lease. We got a great rate. Our real estate agent was named Jack, and he took 3.5%.
But then he screwed us bad, Jack.
Yeah, but Jack really screwed us. So we're passing the savings on to you.
That's only topped by, I haven't seen this one in a while, but we stripped our prices naked commercial.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
It was like a stereo shop on Aurora in Seattle.
Oh, I do remember what you're
talking
about.
They're like, we stripped our prices naked. And they're like holding car audio equipment over their groins.
Right.
And I just saw that. I'm like, I know they packaged that up. Like, they they put that back in the boxes and sold it. Like, they hadn't just covered their junk with it.
Well, they're all about the package.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a big sign that says, We install equipment that wasn't purchased here, aka stolen equipment.
Yeah, I've seen that shop going up to Jordy's.
It's sketchy.
It is very sketchy. It looks like it used to be like a local music shop, and then it was like a homeless den, and then it was a stereo place.
Yeah, basically.
Oh man. Anyway,
so there you go.
Jesse, were you the one? Do you remember that like little secret society place that was by my house up on 95th? Were you the one who was intrigued by that place?
Secret Society?
Yeah, it had like, it didn't have a sign, it just had a weird symbol on the door. And there was always like a dude sitting out front.
No, that wasn't me. I never knew that.
Someday you and I have to take a video tour of Aurora and put it online for personal arrogance.
We should do a live cast where we just walk around Aurora and talk about it. And then get mugged.
Yeah. Aurora, the part of Seattle no one tells you about. I like to think that Jesse, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts and they're always talking about LA. They're always talking about LA neighborhoods and like this place outside of LA, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like you and I are doing that for for Western Washington.
Yeah, possibly. Somebody's got Bremerton, like, Gorst covered, Tacoma,
Gig Harbor, Port Townsend, Port Angeles.
Yeah,
we're killing it.
We're definitely creeping outside of the Seattle bubble.
Love it. Speaking of creeping, we got a phone call. bad segues make good podcasts, and this one comes to us from somebody I haven't heard it yet. So let's listen.
Hey guys, Eric and I forgot how to speak a little bit for a second there. But hi, Eric and Jesse, it's Michael McBride here. Forgetting how to speak English, but I haven't seen it yet. But have you? I know that you guys probably are going to talk about it. Maybe, I don't know, the new Transformers movie. And I just thought, if you were a giant robot, what would you want to transform into? And I am very tired right now. And I'm going to go now. There. I'm back.
Yeah, I've felt like that lately.
I feel like Hollow Earth. He's being sucked into Hollow Earth.
Oh, no.
He doesn't even know what's happening.
He's gone down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. Michael, thank you for your Virginia accent once again gracing our podcast. So dedicated, Michael is.
Like, yeah,
he's
exactly.
Calling in even when it's when he's tired. When did this come in? Let's take a look. It's time stamped 2:11 a.m. Michael said, "I got to get my phone call in. I'm calling." And I don't know if this adjusts for time, because there's a good possibility that this was at 5:11 a.m. because he's in Virginia. So Michael McBride,
Warrior.
Warrior podcast champion.
American Ninja Warrior champion.
So, Jesse, I know you probably saw it 2 or 3 times. What did you think of the new Transformers movie?
I just wish it were like 4 or 5 hours longer.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It's like, I mean, Optimus Prime could have his own miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
And if they just want to cram that miniseries into a regular movie, I'm good. I mean, were you big with the explosions? Because I was big with the explosions.
I thought, if anything, not enough.
That's what I thought, too. Just because, like, halfway through the movie, I was like, I'm a little afraid we're not going to have enough explosions. But then, like, the ending was really explosive.
Right.
Literally. So, the question is, does that make up for the lack of explosions in the middle?
I don't think that you can ever forgive a plateau of explosions. No matter how many you cram into the last 10, 20 minutes, like, that doesn't make up for the lack of explosions around minute 188, which is the median minute.
Well, I think it was about 182, because I was stopwatching it. That was when I really felt it. I mean, think about it. We're coming up on 4th of July. You're watching your display. Are you a finale guy, or are you like middle of the road? This is like a chance that they're taking on this song, but the florals are beautiful. Type of guy. I'm more of the florals are beautiful. I want a beautiful floral Transformers movie. I don't really need the ending.
I'm right there with you.
So what did you think of the twist?
Oh, you like when he twisted his torso and became a car?
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Like how they twist their limbs and torsos.
Yeah, they twist
and heads.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Turn into cars.
They twisted it, they turned it, they
popped it. They pulled it.
Mm-hmm. They
passed it.
They flicked it. That's what I was
trying
to say.
They definitely
did flick. I mean, when he turned into a bop it, that was the moment.
Yeah, the Hanson cameo.
Yes.
Where there was the Hanson robot who turned into the bop it.
Exactly.
That was probably my favorite moment.
So, I mean,
twist it, turn it, pull it, and bop it.
Just pop? Yeah, just bop it. And he bopped it, and then it blew up. It was beautiful.
Yeah, into a fireworks display.
So I think overall, 5 stars?
Yeah, out of like 4 or 3, maybe.
Yeah. So go see Transformers like we obviously have.
Edge of Dawn.
And, Jesse, the question is here, if you were a Transformer, what would you turn into?
Kegerator.
Yeah, I thought I was thinking bottling machine for you.
Ooh,
bottler.
Ooh, man, I actually like that more,
because you could be the bottler.
That's good. Yeah,
the auto bottler.
Bottling machine, like it.
Yeah, I think I would just turn into Safeco Field.
Like, I'd be that retractable roof.
Exactly. I'd be a baseball stadium, and then I would be a Transformer at the same time.
That's awesome.
That would actually be pretty awesome, Michael Bay. Copyright Eric Walk was 2014. So, Michael, thank you for calling in. We got a ton of feedback last week, and I think that people are on the feedback hangover. But if you want to give us a call, leave us a voicemail, please do. 360-362-0024, or shoot us an email at personalarrogance@gmail.com. Jesse, let's do a little time out roll-off. Get this show on the road.
Let us.
We're each going to roll a 20-sided die to see which podcaster gets to speak first this week. Jesse, I have an analog die this week.
Okay.
But I have still been on a streak here, so... Let's make this happen.
I rolled a 9.
14.
Oh, what the
What can I say? This isn't even my purple die.
You got that Mariner Soto mojo
Dude,
going on right
mojo
now.
The mojo is mojo, and I know you want to talk about it. So my first topic is the Seattle Mariners. No, I'm just joking, Jesse.
Do they still say Soto mojo?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It was more of a 2001 to 2003 thing. Their slogan now is True to the Blue, which is weird, and it's been their slogan for 2 years. Like, they were like, this slogan rules, and then the next year came around, and they were like, all right, we need a new slogan. We're like, no, guys. This slogan rules. True to the Blue.
True to the Blue?
I prefer Real to the Teal. I think that's a little better.
I like that more, too.
Anyway, Jesse, I want to start off the night tonight by talking about games.
Here we go.
Finish him. Okay, so Jesse, I know that you know that I am currently in two Dungeons & Dragons groups.
I thought you had 3 active characters going.
I had 3 because... What was my third one? I don't remember what my third one... I had 3 because... I think it was because I was planning the one-off that we did.
Ah.
So yeah, I'm in 2. I've got Selbo Yellowknife, who is my halfling wizard, who is in the Evera campaign, the one that you're running. And then I have Lillisand.
Never heard of him.
What's that?
Never heard of him.
Right. And and then I also have Lillisand, the dwarven druid, who is in my other campaign. Mm-hmm. So that's with my friends on my softball team. But one of the guys on my softball team decided he was going to send this link out. He said, next time we play Dungeons & Dragons and roll characters, we have to pick from this list. IO9 posted this last week, and it is the 24 most embarrassing Dungeons & Dragons character classes.
I'm excited for this.
Yes.
24.
24. Most of these are AD&D. Did you ever play AD&D?
I sure did, Eric. When I started playing Dungeons & Dragons, that was the current edition.
Can you give us a snapshot? Like, I don't know how you know how I started playing Dungeons & Dragons because you were my intro. But I want to know how you got hooked on the drug.
Through my Uncle Bill, who was, and my cousin Brandon, who was a year older than me. I was in 7th grade when I started playing.
Uh-huh.
And, we played in this, like, family-friendly group where there was, like, 4 or 5 adults plus, like, 4 kids.
Wow.
Around my age, and there's one kid who was, like, 2 years younger. God, no, they're like, those... There was those 2 brothers, me and my cousin, and then 2 other brothers, and then like 4 or 5 adults. I mean, it was...
Wow.
Now that I think about it, it was like a massive group, but it was kind of just like a chance for people to come and bring their kids and have kind of like a loosey-goosey fun campaign.
And it was AD&D?
Yeah, it was AD&D.
Do you remember who your first character was?
My first character was Jess Man, the human fighter, who died in a tournament.
Uh-huh.
And then my next character was Jess Man Jr., the human fighter, who died.
Uh-huh.
And then I had a gnome cleric, who I played as that character for the remainder of the time playing with that group.
Yeah, my first D&D character was Algork the Half-Orc.
Yeah, there you go.
Who started a Blood Bowl team and a pottery business in the city.
Yeah.
And bought a boat that was on land.
Yeah, that campaign was actually like the the seed that this current campaign I'm running grew from.
Nice. Oh god, if I ran into Al Gork at some point, I might have an Al Gork-nasm.
Al Gork might be in politics right now.
He could be. So anyway, so these are some of the most embarrassing classes. Most of them, like I said, are from Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, which was, I believe, it's basically second edition, or is second edition something different?
No, it is the second edition. Okay. It was just Dungeons and Dragons, and then Advanced Dungeons and Dragons came after that, and it's considered the second edition.
And then there was 3.0, and then 3.5.
Yeah, and then 3.0 was a fucking disaster.
And then there was 4.0.
Which was, again, a disaster.
And now this fall they're going to be coming out with D&D Next, which is the next version of that.
Right.
But we play D&D 3.5 because we're purists to the one in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jesse, here we go. Number one, Fighting Man. In the original Dungeons & Dragons game, there were three classes, Magic User, Cleric, and Fighting Man. Those were the original Gary Gygax characters, which I think is very similar to your Fighting Man.
Yeah, Just Man Jr. was definitely a Fighting Man.
Number two, Beggar. And AD&D really gave you the options to willingly play a beggar. Beggars had recommended skills like seamstress or tailor. So apparently you're just unemployed. They had to be chaotic in alignment. It was suggested they were like the inherent immunity to cold and heat traits, or they take the inherent immunity to cold and heat traits. That's a very interesting thing to apply to that class.
Yeah.
We have the Peasant Hero. the Peasant Hero class, which looked pretty good in comparison to the Beggar. Why this needed its own rule set was just kind of letting a character play heroes who also happens to be poor. So that's your Peasant Hero. Arctic Druid, which I personally like the cold classes. Do you know what the Defiler is?
It sounds familiar.
I think they might have turned this into a monster. But in the Dark Sun campaign, which was like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, but with magic instead of technology, there were
evil... Yeah, I played a Dark Sun character. I played a mule, which was a half-human, half-dwarf.
Okay. What was Dark Sun? Was that just a supplement?
Yeah, it was like a campaign setting.
Well, we all know that Stormrak is close to my heart in the Darfelon race, so...
mm-hmm.
But they were evil wizards called Defilers. They sucked energy out of vegetation and other living things nearby to gain magical powers. You have the Anchorite, which is a real term for someone who has withdrawn from the real world to stay in one place and focus on their religion and spiritualism. Most of these just sound like really specific versions of, like, fighter, wizard, or cleric.
Yeah, yeah. They could be prestige classes.
The one I really like here is Barbarian Fighter, which... is a fighter and a barbarian, but it sounds like a barbarian or somebody who only fights barbarians. A barbarian fighter. We have a clown.
The
Forgotten Realms supplement of City of Gold, you could willingly choose to play a clown, which combined the least cool parts of thieves and bards and did away with all the cool stuff. So if you wanted to be able to tumble around and entertain but not steal, backstab, or influence people with your music, you certainly are a fool. Oh man, Clown Campaign is coming up.
Oh boy.
Clown Campaign one-off.
I kind of do want to play like a Juggalo gang, a Juggalo clown gang in Evera.
Can you, why don't you have us encounter that gang so we can beat them down?
They're wielding hatchets, baby. Are you prepared for the Dark Carnival?
I'm wielding a fireball wand.
Uh huh.
That's almost
yeah,
depleted.
But they're wielding the fucking fireball wands. How do they work? Their sheer disbelief dispels all magic items. It's technically a psychic power, but it works.
I think disbelief is a standard action.
Fucking fireballs, how do they work?
Yeah.
Good point! Good point, clown posse! Chaotic clown posse?
Perfect.
I guess they don't work. Now I can't use this item. Thanks.
So apparently the City of Gold supplement was pretty weird, because it featured a new type of magic called fetishism.
Oh, boy.
So, it's... Because you know what happens when dungeons and fetishes come together? In Dungeons
then you get
and
a
fetishes.
Show photo shoot.
Oh, God. Oh, man, bald move humor. I love it. yeah, so you could be a fetishist, which I assume is like magic based around items?
It must be. I mean, because they're playing off of Dungeons & Dragons loves to be like, ooh, it's a fetish, hoo-hoo-hoo, by which we mean the literal historical version, which is a small worshipped item, you know?
Yeah, it's basically voodoo.
Yeah, or like a shrunken head or something.
That voodoo that you do. Unicorn Rider from the Elves of...
that class. Sign me up for that one, please.
From the Elves of Evermeet supplement, which features the results of a brief period when Lisa Frank was brought on as an advisor.
That's a joke.
I think that is a joke, but I love the Unicorn Rider. God, it would actually be pretty badass if, like, in Lord of the Rings, they, like, called on an army and they rode in on unicorns. And they're like...
They probably did in the Silmarillion at some point.
Yeah. They're like, fuck you. We have unicorns. are unicorns immortal?
Are they mortal?
Yeah.
Yeah, in D&D, they're just kind of like rare horses with horns.
Okay. I was curious. Because, like, aren't they supposed
I think
to
they have some magic spells and stuff, but they're not immortal or anything.
Love it. Number 11, a dandy, which was from the Ravenloft supplement Mask of the Red Death, included a great many new character classes for the horror world, of which Dandy was hardly the worst. In that game, Dandy was a noble that could wield social influence and has a large income, none of which matters when you could be eaten by a vampire practically any moment. I'm a dandy, and I take rich as a class skill.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please roll me a rich check?
Please roll me a rich check.
Yeah. Does the small craft advisory apply to you? Roll me a rich check.
turns out I have a large craft. I'm fine.
My
yacht is very large.
Yes. also, we have the laborer. You can be a laborer in Red Death as well. It's like a dandy, except you had no social influence or no money.
Sounds great.
Thug. That sounds like a pretty good one.
Yeah. You can kind of roll up a thug in 3.5 fairly easily.
Basically just a fighter, right?
Yeah.
Pest controller, which came from... it was a class...
That's kind of Selbo Yellowknife.
Yes, I guess so. I am a halfling wizard who's in his past life used to summon, not in an actual past life, but before he got exiled, summoned creatures at a petting zoo for orcs in the orc district.
Right. Specifically, you did have a penchant for bugs.
Yeah, fire beetle.
Yeah.
The
pest controller.
Exactly, who is a pest. Mostly because at low levels you can only summon pests. The Rabid Response Rider, this is almost as cool as the Unicorn Rider. This was a dwarven version of Cavalry, which would have been much better named given the Rapid... Oh, I read that wrong. It's not Rabid Response Rider, it's Rapid Response Rider. So basically a Pony Express. You have the... I'm just going to read through the names here. You let me know if something pops up that you like. The Goblin Sticker...
Okay.
The Mouse Burglar.
All right.
Which I guess is like a cat. Oh, it's a cat burglar, but it's a gnome or a halfling. Okay. The mine rowdy.
I'm curious about that one.
It comes from the Complete Book of Humanoids. The point where TSR had clearly run out of ideas, but was going to churn out as many supplements as they could. Enter the Mind Rowdy, which is a fighter who'd specialized in working in mines and beating the prisoners who act up or try to stop working.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Lost Druid.
Okay.
Okay. A pacifist.
Oh, let me hear about this.
So you can't say this druid class is a fighter. So it's a druid. So it's basically just a hippie.
Right.
Who doesn't want to fight at all. But AD&D, so it's a game focused mostly about murdering things. So you get more experience points as you get more powers if you're able to murder more things and taking their gold so you can get better equipment in order to be more efficient at murdering things. However, pacifist druid how a pacifist druid ever advances past first level is beyond me. Apparently they're not really role playing.
Hell.
Mountain Man, that sounds awesome. But apparently it's just a forest hobo. Paladin of Slaughter. How about Urban Druid? I think that's kind of a pest controller.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are your classes. And, I don't know, man. If you could create a Dungeons & Dragons class, like, what would your ideal class be?
I don't know. That's a tough question. I've never really thought about it.
If I asked you to roll a character right now, what would you pick?
What would I pick? A cleric.
Oh, really? Why?
A cleric is the ultimate I can do everything by myself character.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can wear as much fucking armor as he wants.
Right.
Get his armor class way up there.
Right.
And has pretty good ability to hit things with a blunt object.
Yeah.
So it can, like, get up into combat and actually do some damage.
Exactly.
And can heal himself and, like, have a bunch of utility spells also.
Yeah, exactly.
And it would be fun to roleplay, too.
I think Eric the Cleric needs to happen pretty soon.
Me playing Eric the Cleric?
Sure. And I'll be Jesse the Mountain Man.
Yeah, the thing about Advanced Dungeons & Dragons is I want to say it might have come out in the early 80s, but I want to say it came out in like 77 to 79 or something like that.
Well, basically, so this is kind of the history of Dungeons & Dragons is that it was created by Gary Gygax for TSR, which I think was located like in Minnesota or something, like Midwest, and then went to AD&D and then had its AD&D phase and then was bought by Wizards, which made
Yeah, well, that's the thing,
three.
But there's a long period of time between AD&D and when Wizards buys it
exactly.
And creates 3.0.
Yeah.
And TSR went bankrupt.
Exactly.
And Dungeons & Dragons became a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they couldn't run the business well enough, and they kept trying to pump out all these supplements, and you get stuff like Mountain Men and Mouse Burglars, and like they were never able to really successfully manage the asset that they had.
Right.
And you got all this weird shit, and then nothing really happened until they went bankrupt and got purchased by Wizards.
But you gotta say Unicorn Rider, right?
I mean, that's like the one good idea.
Yes. Well, anyway, those are your classes. Jesse, can't wait to play. I think it's on the calendar, the next Evera campaign. So I'm very excited about it.
Well, you got some unicorn hatchlings to catch, I guess.
Love it. And I want an Algorc. Anyway, Jesse, what is your what's your first topic?
First topic is science.
If today we're able to create two-headed dog with six legs, is it possible that a similar creature existed thousands of years ago? And I say yes.
Great stuff.
Great stuff.
Great stuff.
So, Eric, science fiction writers have come up with a plausible scenario for a floating city above the fiery planet, which is, of course, Venus.
Venus.
Coming from citylab.com.
Love it.
So they're thinking Venus, not Mars.
Okay.
And there's reasons why. So
wait a second. So they want to build a floating city above the surface of Venus that humans can inhabit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So why worry about building a colony on Mars when instead you could float one high above the surface of Venus? Science fiction writer Charles Stross recently revived the idea of building a Venusian colony when he suggested, cheekily, that billionaires ought to be compelled to donate massive humanity-improving projects. He suggested, too, a Manhattan Project-like focused on developing commercial nuclear fusion or the construction of a floating city on Venus.
Mm-hmm.
So the air on Venus thins out as you rise above the surface, obviously, and cools considerably. About 30 miles up, you hit the sweet spot for human habitation, Mediterranean temperatures, and sea level barometric pressure. If ever there was a place of building a floating city, this would be it. Scientist and science fiction author Jeffrey Landis presented a paper called Colonizing Venus at the Conference on Human Space Exploration, Space Technology, and Applications International Forum in Albuquerque. Really rolls off the tongue.
Yep.
Back in 2003.
Good old N-A-F-F-L-A-H... A-N-A.
It's the C-O-H-S-E-S-T and A-I-F in Albuquerque.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you nailed it. Mm-hmm. Breathable air flows to Venus's soupy carbon dioxide atmosphere, which means on Venus, a blimp could use air as its lifting gas, the way terrestrial blimps use helium to float in our much thinner atmosphere.
So basically we can make a little air bubble that we can live in?
I guess. I don't know if they're supposed... They're thinking you live inside of the bladder.
Well, because like that's the problem is the gas, right? I mean, if it's not oxygen and nitrogen mixed together in a delicious cocktail we call air and drink in it every second of every day, I don't understand why the temperature even matters, because if you're in a glass ball, you could just make the temperature whatever you want it to be. Refuted.
Well, let's see what they have to say.
Okay.
They say atmospheric pressure is crucial.
Word.
So think of the difference between jabbing a car tire and letting air out of a half-inflated balloon.
Okay.
Gases seek equilibrium. Since there's barely any atmosphere on the moon or Mars, a rip in the hull of an enclosed human habitat would suck oxygen at a tremendous force.
Yep.
30 miles above Venus, it would merely seep out. This means a Venusian cloud colony wouldn't need as much reinforcement. Venus has other boons, too. Its rich atmosphere blocks radioactivity and could be mined for useful minerals. And with gentle temperature, far less energy would have to be spent on heating or cooling. That's what there's. So it's an energy thing, Eric.
Okay. I guess I could see that, because, like, if you're in your car, I don't know, man. Like, think about being in your car, and it's, like, 68 degrees. So you don't need the windows down. You don't need the heat on. You don't really need the AC. But you still need some kind of air. I don't know. Just... I guess it would still have air moving around.
Well, yeah. No, let's take this analogy.
Uh-huh.
So, we're in this car. We don't need the windows up or down.
Right.
And we're feeling comfortable in it. Versus, we're in the car in Phoenix in the summer, and it's 105 outside, and we have to be constantly pumping in the AC.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And if you open the window, everything's horrible again.
So this
as soon as you open the door, everything sucks.
It's basically why we live in Western Washington.
Exactly, because we choose to get rained on our camping trips.
Yeah, for the lack of air conditioning.
Yeah.
No, I guess that makes sense. I'm just trying to envision, like, so this would have to be inside some kind of floating capsule. Like, it couldn't be open air like Cloud City.
No, it would have to be in some sort of floating capsule.
Hmm.
But, I mean, you could go outside if you had a spacesuit on.
Well, I mean, anybody could do that.
That's a good point.
It's just so interesting to me because, basically, you know, Mars and Venus are, like, are triplets. Like, we're very similar planets. We're just at different places in our distance from the sun.
Right.
But the idea is that, you know, we're all moving further away from the sun over time. And, you know, there's a theory that Mars was once where Earth is now. And that at some point Venus is going to be where Earth is now.
Mm.
So we're just like our triplets, and we're going through our phases right now. Like, we are in our mature phase.
Right.
Mars has become the geriatric parent that needs a lot of help, and Venus is the hot button toddler who is volatile.
And Earth is just right.
Yeah, Earth is just right. You know, we're planning for our 401k. We're very happy with our lot in life right now. Feel like we got to take care of our geriatric parents a little bit, meaning Mars.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We go over there on the holidays. We visit every once in a while.
We'll do a flyby visit.
Yeah, we'll do a flyby. Maybe send some good wishes in the form of a rover.
Let's do the.
Hey, Mom and Dad, I know you're sad about us moving out of the house, so we bought you a dog.
But technically, you moved out of the house first.
Yeah. So yeah, it'd be great. We could start early. We'll just inhabit Venus, and then
exactly,
by the time it gets to the sweet spot, we got the early stake.
We've claimed our stake.
We are the Sooners of the universe.
I am a Venus colonized fan now.
Do you know what the surface of Venus looks like?
A blasted hellscape.
Yes, it looks like the end of a Michael Bay movie. Looks like the end of Transformers 4.
Lots of fireworks.
Well, this is cool. I mean, are you now for Venus colony over Mars colony?
Oh, definitely. Especially if we can just float up in that atmosphere. Fuck yeah, Cloud City, USA.
I just
harvest all those sweet, sweet gases and minerals.
That's
with
true.
Cheese.
That's true. I mean, I would just be really nervous about the thing falling out of the sky onto the molten surface of Venus.
That's the thing, though. Equilibrium. It won't crash out of the sky. It'll just float down slowly.
Like, I have enough anxiety about flying to Denver. I don't need to have my whole existence floating against a certain death. I mean, I live in a place that's
full of all... I wouldn't recommend space colonization for you.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't... I mean, I was thinking about this when I was... So we went to these places called the Eight Caves on our camping trip, and we did the Upper Cave, and in the Upper Cave, you have to climb over 27 rock piles, and these rock piles are about 20 to 30 feet tall. So they're like these little pyramids of rocks you got to climb over, and some of them are pretty big. And at certain points climbing over these rocks, I'm like, so if there was an earthquake right now, this boulder would just fall on me and I would die instantly. And I'm like I'm a mile and a half into this cave. There's no way to get me out of here. But you just got to deal with that anxiety. I feel like that anxiety would just be like 100 times higher if you were floating above a molten surface of a foreign planet.
Yeah, you could think about that about literally anything at any time.
I feel like if there was an earthquake right now, I would be pretty safe.
Well, not earthquake, but there's always something.
That's true. There's like those people who the last domestic airline crash happened in the early 2000s, and it was in Buffalo, New York. And this lady was just sitting in her house, and a 737 landed on it.
Yeah. Yeah, done. Or like the fucking Mythbusters were like, let's do some cannonball myths, and like blew a hole in someone's house.
That's true.
That could be the end of you, because... Mythbusters wanted to see, like, is the myth true that a cannon can destroy this guy's cranium? Myth confirmed.
Plausible. Oops. Plausible, guys.
Plausible. Yep. It went through 6 frozen pigs and blasted my head into smithereens.
Yeah, I guess.
Plausible.
Now this anxiety is just going to hang over me for the rest of the show, so.
Now the point is, whatever. You can die at any moment. Deal with it.
I think we have a new tagline. The point is, whatever. All right, well, speaking of that, let's move on to our little tiny trivia. We're going to be doing Genus 1 of Trivial Pursuit. I'm going to be rolling a 6-sided die to see what category we will do this week. That category is number 5, Science and Nature, Jesse. Keeping it rolling here. You ready to go?
Yeah, I just tore, like... my pinky toenail, I get the baseline, like 90% of it across the way.
I can't do it.
It doesn't hurt or anything, but...
Just chop it, man. Get that thing away.
Wow, it is like almost completely off.
Okay, pinky toenails, first of all, almost obsolete.
Yeah.
At this point.
The pinky toe in general.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that I'm just like, why? And toes are one of them. Like, a flat duck foot, like, think about it. Dinosaurs were like, we're going to be dinosaurs. And then they were like, fuck it, let's be birds. And when we're birds, we're going to give ourselves duck feet because they're fucking awesome.
I would Why don't we have duck foot for sure.
I'd take a duck foot. I'm not gripping anything
with my fingers, my toe fingers.
Oh, come on. It's weird, too, that, like, your foot thumb, like, turn into just, like, a straight, huge toe. It's, like, way yeah, bigger than weird. All of your other toes. And then, like, but I'm not even talking about, like, a duck foot, like a webbed foot. I want a duck foot like Donald Duck foot. Like, just a straight-up foot, no toes.
Yeah, like, completely enclosed.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Anyway, science and nature speaking of. Jesse, who flew for 43 years without a pilot's license?
Flew for 43 years without a pilot's license?
I'm sure a few people have done this.
Who's the guy who got his baby stolen?
I'm not going to help you.
Oh, come on.
Uh-uh.
The Lindbergh. Charles Lindbergh.
I'm going to go with my Uncle Joe. Stalwart of the Bremerton International Airport.
Oh, yeah? Really?
No. Orville Wright, actually.
Oh. Funny.
Hilarious. Gotcha. All right, this question's for me. What letter is on the left end of the middle row of letters on a typewriter keyboard? Left end of the middle row. I have a computer right here. It's A.
cheater. What's for Diener?
Yeah, I think we could try a new one here. By the way, how is that science and nature? What constellation is known as the Water Bearer? I'm going to go with the classic Andromeda.
That's I'm going to go with the Big Dipper.
Aquarius.
Oh.
That's what I meant by Andromeda. All right. We're batting 1,000 tonight, Jesse. This question for you. What type of steel did Englishman Harry Brayley invent in 1913? Harry Brayley.
I'll just say stainless.
I'm going to go with reinforced. Stainless, Jesse. You take the lead with the DeLorean. this question's for me. I need it to tie. What fastener did Whitcomb Judson patent in 1893? I'm going to go with Velcro.
I'll say zipper.
The zipper, Jesse. You take it.
Oh, that was insult to injury.
Yep. What can I say? I like a good Velcro. But Jesse,
I'm a zipper man. Call me a zipperhead because of my love of zippers.
Jesse, this question's this topic's for me because you won the trivia, but I won the war, and I get to do my second topic, which is going to be YouTube. YouTube. So this week I sent this to you, Jesse. But I got a heaping helping of nostalgia through probably one of the best YouTube channels I've ever seen in my lifetime.
I didn't get a chance to look at this.
Okay. Well, I'm glad because I need to go through this experience with you, I feel. And
all right.
This is the Claw Master YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesse, can you explain our relationship or why we might be interested in the Claw Master?
So Eric and I grew up in a small-ish town.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly wasn't a bustling metropolis with lots of stuff to do all the time.
Right. And few places open past 10 p.m.
Yeah. One of the places that was open 24 hours was, of course, the local Safeway,
mm-hmm.
which is a grocery store, for those of you who are unfamiliar with Safeway.
Right.
And we would go in and we would buy Jones sodas.
Yep.
And we would partake in the claw machine.
Yes.
Which is I'm sure everyone knows, but it's a sort of a carnival game of a glass cube, and you control a claw on sort of a crane sort of device, and you try and grab toys.
Yeah, and you actually got me into the claw machine because
is that true?
Yeah, because you said that you had been to Safeway and there were these two dudes there who were like just winning everything, getting they had a veritable Death Star of plushy cheap toys, and you had spoken to them because they told you the secret, which was the 5-second rule.
You wait what? Were you not with me for the 5-second rule?
No, no, no. You imparted that wisdom on me later.
Oh, God, which, I thought you were there.
Which apparently on a Sugarloaf crane machine, claw machine, if you wait till 5 seconds, the claw goes down further than on any other time.
Yeah, it wasn't just two dudes.
Okay.
In fact, it was just one dude.
Okay.
Who was in town for the carnival.
Yeah, so he's a carny.
He was a carny.
Yeah.
And he had a big shopping bag full of toys that he was winning. And he told me, never go before 5 seconds, because if you wait till 5 seconds and then, you know, press the button for the claw to go down, it has extra strength. Which is almost certainly bullshit.
Yeah, I think that you just, if you take your time, you have a better chance of getting it. I think that's probably
it's the extra strength.
Okay, we need to myth bust this.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this is what Jesse and I would do on many a Friday night, is go down to Safeway, spend a couple of dollars. I had a freaking collection of these things. My
Creepy
first
baby, for one.
What? Creepy baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is all part of the claw machine culture, is that you name the things. And now claw machines are all it's all just marketing mumbo-jumbo. You got your Ghostbusters and
yeah, there's Marvel, Avengers.
Avengers and your Stewie Griffins, and it's
like
all
Tahoe
just,
baseball caps.
Yeah, and they've just sold out, right? But when we were kids, there were people who made these things, and they were not name brand anything. Nope. Like, my first one was one that I named Nolan's Joe, because he was a yellow crawfish, and he was the first one I ever got. And I still remember Nolan's
vividly
Joe.
Vividly remember that.
Yeah, Nolan's Joe was, like, my favorite thing ever for a while.
Well, tell the entire Nolan's Joe experience.
Well, so the first rule of claw machine is that you can't be...
don't go for you want. Go for what you can get.
Yeah, clawers can't be choosers. That's rule number one. So, but Nolan's Joe was just sitting up on top.
Yeah.
Yellow, lobster man, beautiful, and also very spindly. Like, there's not a lot of girth to Nolan's Joe, but he's long and lean, which is exactly what you want out of a Sugarloaf guy. So, I think I spent about $2.50. It took me a few tries, but I finally got Nolan's Joe, and then he became my own personal mascot.
But you're forgetting part of the story.
I am.
Which is where we got Nolan's Joe.
Right.
We're super excited, and we run out into the parking lot, and apropos of nothing, in a red convertible, these two gals, like our age, roll up.
Dude, that's totally true. That's totally true.
And see us, are like, hey guys, what's up? And Eric lifts up the stuffed crawfish and goes, "Nolan's Joe!" And they just peel out, drive off. We were all hyped up on adrenaline and Mountain Dew and probably Taco Bell and Jones Soda. And we totally scared them off.
Yeah, that totally happened. I
never in my entire high school career was there ever a moment where any sort of woman ever like approached me.
Right.
And was like, "What's up?" Until then.
This was the moment. This was like the high school movie moment.
And they were driving like a nice red convertible.
Right.
And totally just creeped them off. They like peeled out. We're like, "Fuck this. Fuck these weirdos."
Oh man, they were cruising for Navy dudes, you know it.
So that was the origin of Nolan's Joe.
So anyway, regardless, there's rules to this culture. There's names to this culture. You have to name the things. We got Creepy Baby Doll because she was the only one we could get, and then we tied her to the front of
someone's
Levi's truck.
Yeah, it was the Bronco.
Yeah. So weird stuff.
We tied it to the front of it, of the Bronco.
Right.
With the shoestring that you had wrapped around your wallet because you were breaking it in. I remember that detail. But then we tied it to my dog's dog run also. We got to my parents' house. So it was just dangling from my dog's dog run, like zipping back and forth as he ran across the yard for weeks.
For weeks?
Yeah, oh, God. For a long time.
It was just the whole thing of, like, you know, we were following the rules, get what you can get, not what you want, but the only thing we could get was this creepy doll.
What was great about Creepy Baby, though, was when we got it, it was face down.
Right.
And then, you know, you grab it, and it goes in into the chute, and we're, like, all ecstatic about it, and then we pull it out, and it's got this creepy plastic baby face, and we all are like, ah!
Yeah, it was very... That's the thing about Creepy Baby. Seriously creepy.
Super, super creepy.
Super seriously creepy. So anyway, this whole culture has been resurrected now on this YouTube channel.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is called Clawmaster, and they actually put together what they call a movie, and I'm putting that in quotation marks for the people who can't see at home. Man versus Claw. They put together 3 hours of claw machine footage.
Wow.
And I just want to play you some, just a little bit of audio, because it really does embody what it's like to be a high schooler playing crane machines for fun at Safeway. So here we go.
Then I don't know.
He's getting the claw over.
Yeah. That... I go right there, actually, because then it's going to go in front of its nose, yeah. There you go.
No.
Come, oh, shoot. Get that doggy.
No, man, turned okay.
Yeah. Dude, you know how it's funny how I said that Star Trek might be gettable? He actually might be gettable.
Gettable.
I might get some more change. Oh, that's got him. That's got him. Scooby, you got... Oh, frick me through the butthole. Yeah.
Frick me through the butthole.
Sorry. It's just so much nostalgia. And, like, yeah. This is 3 hours of this video.
That's
I'm
awesome.
Sorry. They're like next to the ice machine.
Yeah. Did you, Tasha, like... Tasha and I, when we were working together, we got really into the claw machine at the Fred Meyer because we go to the Fred Meyer for lunch.
Right.
At work and do the salad bar. We did the claw machine. We won probably like 5 or 6 toys out of that. We just scattered them around our workplace.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like, it's so the adrenaline rush.
Yeah. It's a real communal thing, too, because you'll put, like, 50 cents in, and it's like, all right, let me try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like, what can I get? I think Star Trek might be gettable.
Yeah. Hey, remember earlier when I said Star Trek might be gettable? It actually might be gettable now. And, like, people think this is impossible, but it's actually very possible to do this. Like, I mean, the main rule is you got to get what you can get, not what you want.
If it was impossible, like... They wouldn't exist.
Right.
They have to be possible so that people actually will spend money on them.
Well, so a couple PAXs ago, they have this thing at PAX called the Omegathon, and it's like this video game tournament that they do during PAX. It's pretty cool. And they just pick random PAX goers to be a part of this. The Omegathon final a couple years ago was a crane machine, a claw machine.
Oh, was it?
If I was in the Omegathon and that thing unveiled, I would be the most ecstatic person I've ever been in my lifetime. I would explode. I'd be the end of Transformers 4. It would be awesome. That's how much I love crane machines. So, Jesse, next time there's a crane machine around, we're going to crane.
It's fucking crane, man.
It's crane. I call it crane machine. I know claw machine is very... It's
another, crane claw.
I call it crane machine.
I think I'd call it claw.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a claw in Port Townsend.
Well, the thing is, I really only like to do Sugarloaf, but I'm willing to branch out. Because Sugarloaf claw machines are kind of the best.
Those are my favorite, too. It's just what I'm comfortable with.
Exactly. It's a comfort thing. It's definitely a comfort zone.
It's a home field sort of feeling.
So anyway, that's claw machines. If you have a claw machine story, please send it to us, personalarrogance@gmail.com. Jesse, what's your secotapo?
You talked about YouTube. I'm going to talk about Facebook.
Facebook.
Ding. Facebook.
Yep.
You did like a Nat Geo thing there.
Okay.
So the authors of a controversial Facebook study are apologizing after an effort to see if emotional states are contagious. That study has caused quite a stir over the weekend. Have you heard about this?
No.
The study? So in 2012, Facebook did a study that involved over 700,000 users where they altered the results of the stuff on their Facebook page, right?
Okay.
On their feed.
Okay.
And they wanted to see what would happen if we gave certain people negative stuff on their feed, mm-hmm. and if we gave people positive stuff on their feed, if the negative people would react and post negative stuff, and if the positive people would react and post positive stuff. It turns out that they did.
Okay.
So, people are kind of pissed off.
So this was a social experiment that happened through live Facebook.
Yeah.
Wow.
People are mad at Facebook for basically conducting a study on them and affecting their moods.
Oh,
because
my
they
God.
Did, and that's what the study found, was that, yes, we can affect your mood, and yes, we can influence you to post negative emotions on Facebook if what you're seeing on your feed are negative, you know, things.
This is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have, like, a whole thing, like, the government being like, okay, Facebook, we need a happy week.
Yeah, totally. It stinks of Big Brother, just like my hands stink of tart working gloves.
You got it.
So, during a brief period 2 years ago, Facebook altered the content that showed up on certain users' news feeds to control the portion of posts that contained words with positive or negatively charged emotions.
Okay.
By looking at a week's worth of data, researchers at Facebook found that emotions expressed by friends via online social networks influence our own moods, constituting, to our knowledge, the first experimental evidence for massive-scale emotional contagion via social networks and providing support for previously contested claims that emotions spread via contagion through a network.
Yeah.
So you can drop an emotion bomb through Facebook. It's been proven.
That's pretty interesting.
And like you're saying, like if the government was like, we need people to be a little bit more chipper right now, Mark Zucky, here's an extra bilzo for your bank vault.
Yeah.
Take it, and all of a sudden, America's super happy because of Facebook, because this is just how the world works right now.
So the main thing I have that I'm a bit, perturbed about this article is not that Facebook agreed to do the experiment, it's that people are mad about it. And maybe I should not get this worked up about it, but I don't like Facebook is not your email. It's like Facebook is what you do.
I agree completely. Facebook, it's a website that you decide to go to and post stuff to. Right. Like this, Facebook is not a private space.
Exactly. It's not a private space. As much as you'd like it to be, it's not at all. And it's a gamified experience. You post something and you get points.
Yeah, it's gamified, and we've discussed the little red box condition where you log onto Facebook and you see, you know, how many notifications you have, and you get a dopamine rush off of that.
Yes.
And people should be aware of that, and it's definitely going. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all, and people are getting upset. And I don't know. Again, this might fall under the umbrella of I'm not going to get offended by this kind of shit anymore.
Right.
Because this is par for the course for something like Facebook. And I don't think they're being malicious either. So there's a quote here.
Right.
Adam Kramer, who works for Facebook in some capacity, unfortunately I didn't write that down, The reason we did this research is because we care about the emotional impact of Facebook and the people that use our product. We felt that it was important to investigate the common worry that seeing friends post positive content leads to people feeling negative or left out. At the same time, we are concerned that exposure to friends' negativity might lead people to avoid visiting Facebook. We didn't clearly state our motivations in the paper.
Yeah.
So I don't feel bad about this study at all.
So the thing that I love about Facebook, and I don't know if you have a Facebook friend like this. I'm sure that some people out there do. There's this guy who I Facebook friended when I was going to college in San Diego. I literally might have met this guy like 3 times. And I don't remember him. I don't know what he looked like. But his posts keep showing up on my timeline. This is like from a decade ago is when I friended this guy. And the reason being, I love to read this guy's posts because they're the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. And he never gets any likes. And they all pertain to sports.
He just throws them out there.
Yeah, this guy is the king of hyperbole. So let me just read you a couple of these. He's specifically a huge Los Angeles sports fan. So here we go.
Awesome.
Although the United States lost a heartbreaker, I myself have never been more prouder to be an American. Them Yanks are a symbol of what it means to represent the Stars and Stripes with courage, dignity, and honor. Like, seriously, dude? You've never been prouder? I love the hyperbole here. Never been a big fan of the Dutch, but have always respected their consistency as one of Europe's soccer elites since Mexico is America's main soccer rival. Really? I didn't know that. I do not want them to continue winning whatsoever. Plus, the manager and captain of the Netherlands also happens to be a part of Manchester United, which is my favorite soccer club. So this is just
he's picked
posts.
A real obscure soccer club to be a fan of.
I've never been the biggest Carmelo Anthony fan in the world, but if signing him can make LeBron sign with the Lakers, as well as now he's going to opt out of his contract with the Heat, then we would be idiots to not make this happen. Okay, the Lake Show, even with Kobe's ridiculous contract, is one handful of teams that has a cap space that could pull this off if LeBron is interested. Plus, LA, with its awesome weather and being the second largest city and market country, helps. Personally, I think he stays in Miami because the East is so weak. But if he does leave South Beach, it's not going to be to go back to Cleveland or New York or Dallas or Houston. In my opinion, it's going to be LA. It's either purple or gold, or they could sign another superstar like Melo or the Clippers. Team up with CP3 or Blake Griffin. This is like every post is that long and that passionate, and there are zero likes on this page. I love this guy.
This is awesome. I don't have a Facebook friend like that.
If only, man. I've thought about unfriending him because he gets really...
That's the thing. I'm pretty fast and loose with the unfriend.
Well, the best thing is when something bad happened. A lot of good things have been happening in LA lately. The Dodgers are good. The Kings just won the Stanley Cup. But when something bad is happening in LA sports, this guy becomes the most entertaining thing ever. So, anyway, I hope everybody has a Facebook friend like my friend Jason, who I literally cannot remember.
Yeah, exactly. Facebook just put him there.
Yeah.
That you're part of the study. They got you.
Yeah, it's true because I looked at my posts just to see the last 4 posts of mine about sports. So maybe they're like, let's see if the sports guy talks more about sports if more other sports guys are sporting on a sport line.
That explains why everyone in my feed is talking about poop.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, let's see if the poop guy.
Classic Jesse trope.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, this is good, man. You're okay with this study, though, right?
I'm okay with it. Who gives a shit? It's fucking Facebook. I don't care.
I think Facebook just got a new tagline. Speaking of taglines, guys, bald move, the baldest move in podcasting. Needs work, but baldmove.com, guys. So much stuff happening right now. Orange is the New Cast, talking about Orange is the New Black. You got the 24 podcast. You got the Bald Move TV podcast. You got the Because Show. You got Up Yours Downstairs. guys, if you want a podcast, if you want to listen to a podcast or 4 or 5 or 9 or 12, there's a million podcasts at ballmove.com. And if you're not there, then you are square, just like Huey Lewis in the news. It's not hip, though. It's bad. So go to ballmove.com and listen to a fucking podcast. The end.
Bam, bam. Thank you, Sam.
And you can get in touch with us, guys. PersonalArrogance@gmail.com, 360-362-0024 to leave us a voicemail. You can tweet at us at Personal Podcast. You can find us on Facebook at the Personal Arrogance Facebook page and at the Bald Move Facebook page. You can rate and review us on iTunes. You can tell a friend. So many things you could do to get in touch with us. And this show is only richer when your flavor is a part of it. So please, guys, keep in touch. Put your voice on this podcast. It ain't that hard. If you do it, we'll do it. That's the deal. And speaking of doing
what is that accent you're doing?
I don't know. It's generic East Coast?
Yeah, something like Old Jersey?
Old Jersey. No, that's this okay, we're done with accents. Let's get to the Facebook roundup. Each week we post on Facebook, say, hey, we're recording tonight. What would you like us to talk about? You tell us. We talk about it. It was liked by Tony. Tony rocks. John says, favorite/must-follow subreddits, Jesse.
I don't know. I'm phasing out Reddit.
You're phasing it out. I'm trying to phase it out,
too. /NFL.
Well,
during the NFL season only.
That's the thing is I culled my Facebook subs. So this is what I have right now. r/ArkhamHorror, r/BaldMove, r/BoardGames, r/Gaming, r/Movies, r/NFL, and r/Videos. Those are my only subreddits right now.
Homebrewing is good.
Homebrewing is good, by the way. Speaking of which, Andrew says, do you guys homebrew?
I do.
If you do, got any good summer beer recipes?
Do a ginger beer.
Is that a real beer?
Yes.
Okay. And the definitive answer is definitive. John says, also, I'm wondering your favorite vacation destinations or places you would want to visit. I've been talking with my girlfriend and trying to nail down some good places for vacations. I gotta go Hawaii. I'm a Hawaii dude. Just because I personally love Maui, but any island is good other than Oahu. Because it's so close to the West Coast, which John O'Brien does not live on.
Yeah.
It's warm every time of the year, and you get some palm trees.
Sometimes it's hot.
I don't mind hot. I'm not one of these Washingtonian, I don't like it when it's hot guys. So I'm like it hot, and I like it hot. That's where I go.
I want to go to Belgium.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I want to go to Belgium so bad it hurts. I also want to go to Italy. A.K.A. Rome.
Well, if we're going to...
And I want to go to Ireland.
I think when people ask for good vacation spots, they usually ask for places you've been, though. Because, like, we're going pie in the sky. I want to go to Japan.
No, ask for places you want to go to.
Okay. Well, I want to go to Japan.
I want to go to Japan, too.
I want to go to Australia, Jesse. I know you've never been, but... I mean, Australia's pretty awesome. It's too overrated.
Yeah.
I want to go to Sweden and to the Netherlands. Those are like my top two European countries.
Yeah, Netherlands would be fine. I'd rather go to Belgium.
And in terms of continental United States, I would actually really love to go, and stay with me on this one, Jesse, Bronson, okay. Missouri.
I think I would have a lot of fun there.
I feel like I would have a blast in Bronson, Missouri. And
you know what? Maybe
so
the next buypacks should be Bronson, Missouri.
Oh my god, we should go.
We could go see Yakov Smirnoff perform live.
Oh my
That'd
god.
Be so dope.
It would be so awesome to go to Bronson, Missouri for the next buypacks. Oh my god.
I am on board.
Yes. That would be freaking awesome, dude. All right, Bronson, Missouri it is, John. Let
us know
how
it is. I also want to go to St. Louis. At one point, one of our listeners wrote in and told us about all the cool stuff you can do in St. Louis,
yeah,
and I want to go.
He's from St. Louis.
There you go.
And he could come down to BiPax. So,
and Bronson.
Anyway, John, it's Bronson, Missouri, so go and let us know how it is. Scope it out for us, give us a report, and get back. All right. Brandon says, would you guys do a Kickstarter to fly to Germany and stay a couple days to do a podcast with Dennis Kleinbeck?
Fuck yes.
And if so, what are some ideas for donation prizes? A thin $100 gets a podcast named after you and $5,000 and $5,000, and that person can go to $10,000 and you stop in that person's city to do a podcast with them. I would pay a good amount to get you guys there. I'm a firefighter, so a good amount is like $50.
Oh, bummer.
Speaking of Kickstarters, we're going to have a Kickstarter at some point.
Are we?
Yeah. We'll do
it. I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's in the idea phase. We did shoot a Kickstarter video like a year ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'll be fully retired by then.
Yeah, it'll just be sweet, sweet retirement cash. James,
that's how that works.
James says, surely you've seen that new that Hasbro accidentally leaked the Star Wars movie plans for the next few years. I did not see that. And frankly, I would not want to know anyway. I'm trying to stay away from all Star Wars spoilers. Spoilers are too spoiled, guys. Let's just enjoy a movie like we did back in 1988. Justin says, I see you're a fan of Saga. Are you reading anything else and or what's your favorite? Saga is my favorite, and I'm not reading anything else other than like Batman. Scott Snyder's Batman from the New 52. So I really like Saga, though. If you haven't read Saga, it's a comic book, and it's probably one of my favorite things in fiction right now, in all of fiction, including TV and movies. So, and I know I've been really facetious all night, but that is not a facetious statement. Jim says, best beer for 2014 camping season, a newish brewery out of San Diego called Modern Times has some great offerings in 16-ounce cans. Their coffee stout is perfect for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. What are your top picks? And do you can or bottle? Jesse, this is right up your alley, buddy. Camping beer, can or bottle, what is it?
Well, if you're asking do I can or bottle, I only bottle, I don't can anything. Well, when I went camping, I bought an 18-pack can thingy of Rainiers.
Yeah.
And I bought a couple of 22s. I bought a Widmer IPA. Oh, I bought the Two Beers IPA, which is really good.
Yeah.
It's Evo IPA, I think, is what it's called.
Okay.
So that's why I took camping.
Yeah, I took a 12-pack of bottles of Twilight Summer Ale. And
you bought them. You drove to Forks to buy it. And then
exactly.
Then you drove the opposite direction and went to Mount St. Helens.
I didn't even realize that. Yeah, Twilight Summer Ale. No, yeah, Twilight Summer Ale, though, from Deschutes Brewing Company. That's a standby. I also really like the Freeride APA from Alaska Brewing Company.
Yeah, you're into that.
Yeah, that's one of my standbys. And as far as cans go, the Good Life Sweet As in the can.
So good.
You're not going to get much better than that.
Man,
so.
They are blowing.
Dude, Good Life Brewing Company out of Bend, Oregon is
they're
quickly climbing up the ladder of my favorite breweries.
Oh, they're way up there for me, man.
Yeah.
Way up there.
Check that before you wreck that. Michael says, personally, it's fantasy football league. We should do it where everyone puts a $20 random piece of nerd paraphernalia in the kitty for a prize for the winner. Thoughts? I like the idea, dude, but it's just so hard to... It's just so hard to actually... We can't even put a Kickstarter together. I like the nerd paraphernalia, but it's just a little difficult if we're not all in the same place.
Yeah, mail it. Everyone mail it to Eric.
Right.
And then Eric will mail it to the winner. Like, that's kind
of... I like the sentiment, though. I like the idea of trying to do something a little bigger with this. But we will be having a fantastic fantasy football league. Jesse, I don't know if you're going to be doing it this year, are you?
I'm not interested. I don't like it.
Okay. Well, I'll be doing it. I'm sure Aaron, last year's champion, will do it as well. So look for that.
Peyton Manning.
Look for that
this
coming
is why
soon.
Ugh.
What?
Nothing.
Josh says, what are your thoughts on what happens to us after we die?
The same thing that happened to us before we were born.
That's a pretty good theory. I figure, yeah, it's either going to be infinite darkness or not. One of those two.
It's not infinite darkness for sure.
Okay.
I can guarantee you that. Because that would be a fate worse than death.
No, that's it. Okay, so we were in this cave. I know I've talked about this cave a few times. But the cave, there's no sources of light. So it's pitch black.
I know. It's a cave.
Yeah. And it's like
a sad cave.
And it's a mile long. And like, for a lot of the cave, we were kind of by ourselves. There weren't a lot of people in the cave. So like we stopped and I was like, all right, Lid, let's turn off our lights. So we turn off our lights and it is pitch black. And we kept our lights off for about a minute. And you have your eyes open and your eyes just see nothing but blackness and they never adjust. So it's basically like being blind. Like your eyes are open, but you can't see anything. And I'm like waving my hand like an inch in front of my face. I don't see anything. And then after about a minute, it got super eerie because it goes from you feeling like you're in a cave to you feeling like you're in an infinite black space. And so anyway, it's either that or not.
It's a 50-50 chance.
Yep. And then finally, John says, happy 201st episode and a heart. Yeah. A heart from John. All right, Jesse, let's get to do some recos and call it a cast. What do you say?
Let us.
What's your first reco?
My first reco, it came up earlier. Mm-hmm. Nathan, for you, man.
Right.
I've been rewatching the show because the new season just started airing. Mm-hmm. So you can watch season one on Hulu.com or on ComedyCentral.com, which is CC.com.
Right.
And I watch this show. I don't know what it is. It's like tailor-made for me because I do love like the Gordon Ramsay shows.
Right, yeah.
And I love, it's an Absolutely production, so I love Tim and Eric and
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly, yep.
It's like someone perfectly crafted a show for me. The entire time I'm watching it, I have just the stupidest grin across my face, and I'm giggling like a stoned teenager, even though I'm like sober as a not stoned teenager.
Nice.
So, man, I love that show so much. Nathan, for you, it's yeah. so funny. So funny!
And speaking of crafting, I want to pimp do a little pimping here. The HP Pubcraft Love Crawl 2nd Annual is going to be going down. I forgot to mention this in last week's episode. But
hey-o.
This is a it's a pub crawl that I organized, and Jesse's helped me out a lot this year with the gamified elements of it, but it's a gamified pub crawl through the streets of Ballard, coincides with PAX. It's going to be occurring on Saturday, August 30th. If you are in the Seattle area and you listen to this podcast, you better be at this damn thing. Because you're going to have me, you're going to have Jesse, you're going to have Aaron, you're going to have Jim, you're going to have Rocky Mountain correspondent Levi. We're all going to be there.
It's sort of a bald move. Yeah. Like, if you're a fan of the Bald Move Network, we're there.
Plus, all of our wives will be there this year, too, which is kind of crazy.
Except which is for even Levi's better. Wife.
And technically, Aaron isn't married. But
that's true.
Significant other, Jesse and my wives will be there. So it's going to be so cool, man. And it's, like I said, it's Lovecraft themed. It's a gamified experience. Everybody assumes a role. There's hidden identities. There's drinking. There's raffles.
Hidden loyalties.
There's hidden loyalties. There's prizes. It's going to be a fucking blast. There's a video up right now. Just search HP Pubcraft Love Crawl on YouTube. You could see the video from last year. And you can buy your tickets at pubcraftlovecrawl.eventbrite.com. They're only going to gouge you for a cool $5. $5 ticket gets you into the pub crawl and gets you into this really fun experience. And tickets are going fast. So go there, pubcraftlovecrawl.eventbrite.com. Get your tickets. And seriously, if you're in the Seattle area or Portland even, drive up. It's going to be a blast. And all of Bald Move is going to be there. So do it. HB Pubcraft Love Crawl.
Do it. But not all of Bald Move.
Almost. Sorry.
Some of it.
The dudes, all of the dudes who are named Aaron and Jim and Eric and Jesse will definitely
and
be
Rocky
there.
Rocky Mountain correspondent Levi.
Right. So do
All
it.
All right, Bald Mover.
Seco Reco
is rosavinapottery.etsy.com. This site is blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is making all sorts of cool pots right now, custom orders for weddings and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's off the hizzy, so maybe you want some wedding favors. Maybe you want 12 pots, like someone just did.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got that sweet, sweet squirrel to spend on it. Do it. RosavinaPottery.etsy.com. It helps me out so that I can pay my power bill.
Jesse, are we becoming moguls?
No. I'm broke as fuck.
I said becoming moguls.
Yeah. I'm going to reserve even referring to myself as a burgeoning mogul until I have, like, a tiny bit of money.
Oh, no, 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 no. By mogul, I mean a snowy bump that is run over by a skier called Life.
I do feel like I'm being run over time and time again, so yes.
Okay. And the icy blades of fate land again. But finally, my last one. It's going to be another show you can watch it on Hulu, Drunk History. It's a nice compendium.
Is it good?
I watch it, man. I watch the YouTube series, and that's kind of the worst. That was a bad endorsement, wasn't it? Is it good? I watch it. I watch it a little. So, but yeah, it's good. And it's about history, and there's a lot of good cameos, and it's about drunk people. And it makes the best thing about the show is it makes you want to get drunk and talk about history, which I know is one of your favorite hobbies, Jesse.
I know. I accidentally spouted off to you last time I saw you, like, way too much about World War One.
World War Two. Yeah, and by the way, it made me want to do a podcast about it.
I'm too busy.
All right. Well, maybe in the future. But until then, guys, thank you for joining us for episode 201 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast. We're a long way to 300, but we're very close to 2. So remember that wherever you go...
Whatever you do,
please stay
arrogant.